Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering the show. He's all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today. Ray doing very well, and so are we. Welcoming you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, the 21st of January, 2016. We're closing out our third week of year six of this radio project, coming to you live from Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, and we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com, which kicks you over to the station's fine website, kvoi.com, and over on my site, podcasts, and we have our complete archive available anytime at that's buckmastershow.com. We have links to our show on the home pages of the TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and the Southern Arizona News Examiner. 790-2040, our live line number for your questions, comments, and suggestions for Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall, who will be our leadoff guest today. As usual, we have a very full hour full of content. The Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we are doing the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now Pima County Attorney Barbara LaWall, who in 1996 became the first woman ever to be elected Pima County Attorney. Previously, she had been a deputy county attorney for 20 years, during which she prosecuted criminal cases as a trial lawyer, managed the criminal division as the chief criminal deputy, and oversaw administrative, budgetary, and policy matters as the chief deputy county attorney. Barbara, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill. I am great on this beautiful sunny day as I'm listening to the fact that the people in the East are just going to be tormented by terrible weather.
Well, why do you think I left Chicago many, many years ago?
I don't blame you.
Oh, when it's 20 below and the inside of the storm windows freeze, boy, you know it's time to head for the sunshine.
My daughter went to graduate school in Chicago, and I was there a few years ago in January, and I swore I would never go back to Chicago in the winter again.
Wonderful place to grow up, especially nice in the summer, but not this time of year. Doug Ducey, Governor Ducey, talked about sentencing being one of his top priorities. In fact, before his State of the State address, there were a couple of news reports that one of the kind of marquee issues would be sentencing reforms, but that really didn't materialize in the State of the State. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but some of your thoughts about looking into the possibility of providing alternatives to prison for drug-addicted felony offenders.
Well, that question is one that we always need to be concerned with. And, you know, one of the things that I think is really, really important for any kind of public official is to always be looking at the systems that we are in and how can they be improved and not just let entropy set in. So I'm really pleased to address that. I have, for a very long time, from the time that I was elected, been a proponent of alternatives to incarceration. There are a number of individuals who, but for their drug addiction or their substance addiction, it may be alcohol and not narcotic drugs, but for that, they probably would never commit crimes. And so my office has always tried to identify those folks in a very specific way. And some of the programs that we have a multifaceted adult diversion program where individuals who are arrested for a first or second time who commit offenses and who are addicted get to go into that program. And we have the Pima County Drug Court, which I started with Judge Leslie Miller back in 1996. And the drug court is takes these drug-addicted offenders and puts them through the program. And one of the other things that people probably aren't aware of in Arizona law, Bill, is that for narcotics possession, the state law mandates that individuals must be placed on probation for the first two convictions that they have and be given treatment. So it's not until someone has a third conviction for narcotics possession that they are even permitted to be sentenced to prison. And our judges, I think, are very conscientious and aware of the fact that many of these offenders don't necessarily belong in prison. And one of the programs that I started 5 years ago that has been just a jewel is my drug treatment alternative to prison program. And when I proposed this solution to the presiding judge, the director of the Department of Probation, the public defender, the sheriff, the police chiefs, et cetera, everyone jumped on board. They really supported me in applying for grants, which we received, to be able to initiate this really unique, very far-reaching program, which has been proven to save lives and reduce recidivism significantly. And what we do is we take drug-addicted, prison-bound defendants, people who, by virtue of their criminal histories, are mandatorily required to go to prison. And instead of putting them in prison, we give them drug treatment. And this has been just an enormous boon to Pima County. We have saved millions of dollars, and it is significantly less than the cost of prison. A prison bed is about $40,000 a year, and our program costs $9,000 per defendant for 3 years. So we're saving the taxpayers millions of dollars by removing these people from that prison stream, putting them in treatment, and we've had a 70% success rate. So I'm very, very proud of that.
Why doesn't every county have this program?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think I have the answer. Bill Montgomery, who is the prosecutor in Maricopa County, would like to have it. You have to have some seed money. And you have to be able to pay the treatment providers. And we've been very fortunate. We've applied for grants, and we've gotten them. And at one point in time, Pima County kicked in some money because our grant funds had ended, and the new grant cycle hadn't started. So Pima County kicked in a significant amount of money. And, you know, it also takes some vision, Bill. It takes people realizing that if you put the money in something like this, you're not spending it on the back end in prison. And so this gets to be a really complicated thing. I also think that our legislature is not willing to stop those outrageous contracts to private prisons. And so they don't have the incentive to give us some money to continue to do this or to give the money to other counties. And then one other thing you have to have, because some of the smaller counties are unable to do this because they don't have the appropriate treatment providers.
All right, 790-2040. Barbara LaWall is Pima County Attorney. She's with us on the live line. And let's go to Sean. Caller Sean would like to speak with Pima County Attorney LaWall. Go ahead, Sean. Or is it Sneed or? It's Sean. Okay.
Sean.
Okay.
It's Sean. Ms. LaWall, I mean, there's two things. Obviously, some of us think there's, especially in this county, there seems to be way too many people in prison. But according to your understanding, what is the stated purpose of government, according to the Arizona Constitution?
Well, I think the purpose of government is to serve the public.
Okay. Your opponent, Mr. Fineman, Joel Fineman, was on the show, Barbara LaWall, a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he is running against you because he's tired of watching innocent people go to prison and guilty people walk free. And he says that your office loses half of the felony cases that go to trial. How do you respond to Mr. Fineman?
Well, his facts are incorrect. So we have had over the last, I've been in the office now for 4 years, and the conviction rate at trial has remained very steady. We're at 75% almost always. And so I don't know what he's using as his statistics. And so we are not putting guilty, innocent people in prison. So we have to take our cases to trial, and a jury of 12 people make a decision based upon the facts beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm also very proud of the fact that I established the very first conviction integrity unit in Pima County, the first ever and the only one that exists right now in the state of Arizona. And anyone who thinks that they've got a client who is innocent and in prison can bring their case to Rick Unclesbay is the capital trial attorney and the chief trial counsel in my office, and they can bring the case to him, and he will take a look at it. And if somebody is actually innocent and there's evidence to show that, we will right the injustice.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Barbara LaWall, please stick around. We have another segment coming up on the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It makes a great getaway. It's just 3 hours, three and a half hours east of Tucson, depending on where you are in the valley, heading over there to New Mexico and Silver City. You can enjoy a great experience in historic Silver City. There's some great restaurants there now. And go antiquing, do some hiking, just kind of get away. Hey, kick back. And great places to stay like Pinos Altos Cabins and Homestead RV Park, to name a few. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org, has the full listing of the many places to stay and so much to do. Check out Silver City. We'll be right back.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman. Want to see the fastest draw in all the West? Want to see it again? Anyway, if you're looking for somebody to take care of those termites that you've got in your house, do yourself a favor. Call my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. They do a great job, they're economical, and they're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here.
Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another five-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a five-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow. It will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:20 on this gorgeous day in January as the folks are preparing for the big snowstorm. Well, you know, it's called an epic snowstorm. When it's over in D.C., when it's over 2 or 3 inches, it's a traffic-stopping snowstorm. They actually had about an inch of snow in the D.C. area last night, and there were like hundreds of auto accidents. Barbara LaWall is with us, Pima County attorney on the Buckmaster Show. Before we go back to the live line, Barbara, what do you think about, it looks like the marijuana issue, recreational use of marijuana, will be on the ballot. Some of your personal thoughts about that?
Well, I personally am opposed to doing that. I just think that that's a dangerous way for our state to go. I'm very concerned about young people. And, you know, adults are one thing, but I'm telling you, if you make marijuana recreationally available, it's going to become massively available to our young folks. And I just think that's it's a dangerous message. It is harmful to their brains. They're developing intelligence, and I just think it is the wrong thing to do. I can't take a position for or against as the county attorney, so but that's my own personal Barbara LaWall view about where we should go or not go with legalizing any drugs. But the interesting thing is that we don't deal with low-level amounts of marijuana. This initiative will only legalize very small amounts, and we don't deal with that as of felony crimes at all. You know, if people are apprehended with a small amount of marijuana, they are either, for the most part, almost 100% of them are placed into diversion in my office. And so we don't deal with it as a serious crime. We're targeting those narco traffickers and the people with massive amounts of dope and all different kinds of narcotics. And legalizing the small amount is not going to make a dent in the kind of narcotics trafficking with the Mexican cartels that we see, who are bringing up massive amounts of marijuana and delivering it all over this country.
All right, Barbara
LaWall. It won't reduce the violence. It won't reduce any of that. It's just going to make the drug available to a lot more people.
All right. Sorry to step on your final thought there, but let's go back to the live line. James is with us, calling us at 790-2040. James, go ahead.
Hi, Bill. Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting listening to the discussion from Ms. LaWall regarding her program she has in place to deal with adults in terms of diverting them from prosecution and hopefully easing up our jail population, and then obviously dovetailing into the commentary regarding marijuana. But my question really focused on what programs does the county attorney, Ms. LaWall, have in place to deal with our juvenile crime, to prevent kids from getting involved in crime who ultimately could become felons and be dealt with in the adult court. So what programs has she implemented in place to deal with our juvenile crime?
Okay, thank you, James.
Well, thanks, James, for asking that question. As a former high school teacher, I've always been very concerned about our young people and making sure that they don't get involved in the criminal justice system, or if they do, that we break that cycle. So I've instituted a number of programs. One of the ones that I deal with for kids who are already in the system is the Community Justice Board Juvenile Diversion Program. I've been doing that for 18 years. I now have 17 community justice boards all across Pima County, from Sahuarita to Marana to Vail, and we divert approximately 400 nonviolent juveniles every year from being prosecuted at juvenile court. It is a program that's run by volunteers. They do family conferences in a restorative justice fashion. Another thing that I do to not only assist the schools, but to hopefully intervene in the lives of kids who are headed into criminal activity is a very active truancy intervention program. Because one of the things that occurs all the time is when kids are not in school, they're getting in trouble or they're putting themselves at risk for being a victim. And chronic truancy is probably the number one indicator for a criminal career. Most of the individuals who have been incarcerated, or even those, many of them that we just prosecute who are placed on probation, are individuals who were chronically truant, not skipping school, but chronically truant, and dropped out of school, did not finish their education, and they have no skills, they can't get jobs, and they end up in the criminal justice system.
All right.
One other program I want to talk about is I have put prosecutors in 55 schools and 7 school districts in Pima County to work with school administrators. It's the SMART program. And we provide resources to them. We let them know who's being victimized, who's a victim in their school, who's being prosecuted, who's on probation, who's on parole, who's been court ordered back into the school. And we try to do safety planning and give resources to some of these kids who really, really need it.
All right. Let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Greg has been waiting patiently. Go ahead, Greg. You're
Thanks,
with Barbara
Bill.
Lawall.
Thank you. Barbara, mm-hmm. I've got a couple of questions regarding, well, one good point about our system is the Superior Court has pretrial services. And I think that's excellent because we're able to release some folks who don't have a history of failures to appear and they make it to court. And we're not costing the taxpayers money by keeping them in jail. But unfortunately, the tendency I find is that in Pima County, public defenders have a policy of meet 'em and plead 'em, where they're not really...
Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
A policy of meet them and plead them. You haven't heard that expression before?
Meet
no.
and plead, okay.
In other words, the public defenders are so overworked with caseloads of 40 or 50 clients that they see their client 5 minutes before maybe an initial hearing or a case management conference, and the state comes with an offer, and the person may be innocent or guilty, but whatever the case, they're encouraged to take the plea. And so is there an imbalance in the budget? I mean, does the CA's office get a lot more money and investigators and
no, Greg. It's quite the opposite. We have not in the entire time that I've been there gotten more money than the public defenders. Our public defenders have very reasonable caseloads in Arizona. There is a specific case in Arizona that mandates that public defenders and indigent defense cannot carry more than a certain number of cases, so their caseloads are kept at a very reasonable level, approximately 29 to 32 in that area. We do not take pleas at initial appearances or at arraignments. So there is no meet and plead kind of policy that's going on in Pima County. So that may be in other jurisdictions, but it doesn't occur here. And they meet their clients, they talk to them, they get all the evidence and all the disclosure before they have to plead. And so they have an idea exactly what kind of evidence that the county prosecutor has, that we have full disclosure laws and we comply with them. And so the things that you are concerned about, I don't think happen in this particular jurisdiction.
And just a quick follow-up on that, do we have... I know we have a very low plea bargaining rate, do we not, in Pima County?
Well, that has changed over the years. So approximately 4% of our cases go to trial. So that means 96% of the cases are being pled.
Okay. Barbara Lawall, we're going to wrap it up with you, and thank you very much for spending some time during your lunch hour with us, and thanks a lot.
Well, I really appreciate it, Bill. Thank you very much.
Okay, Barbara Lawall with us on The Buckmaster Show. We push toward 12:29. We are halfway through an hour that is full of content today. Up next, after we take our mid-break, we'll be talking about economic development in Pima County. Then at about 45 minutes past the hour, about 15 minutes from now, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz, who is the dean of the UA College of Science, will be along. He'll be talking about one of the most popular lecture series, certainly in Southern Arizona. It's the UA College of Science Lecture Series, which begins next Monday. And Dr. Ruiz will tell us all about that and what's coming up there. So let's take the break right here. Be right back on Thursday on Buckmaster.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview is with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has our Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. Since 2005, Sun Corridor Inc. has facilitated 110 relocations and major expansions in Southern Arizona, representing 27,500 direct and indirect jobs and an overall economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me in studio, Dennis Manano, who serves as chair of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Mr. Manano has had a very successful career at General Motors. He served as Vice President of Public Policy, Chief Environmental Officer, and Vice President of Communications. He is now a consultant in environmental, energy, governance, and transportation infrastructure strategies. Denny, how are you?
Well, just fine, and thank you for having me on your show today.
There is so much going on with Sun Corridor. You've been the chair for about 6 months now.
Yes.
And leading an organization through some really significant changes. And what drove those changes? Well, first of all, there was the name change from Trio to Sun Corridor.
Bill, it's been some exciting and productive times. Many of your listeners know, TRIO has been around for a number of years, and they focus in on economic development really for the entire region, because the outsiders, new companies, site selectors look at us as a mega region. And in our natural course, we would not only promote areas of Tucson, but Pima County, but Fort Huachuca and Pinal County. And over the last few years, more and more with Pinal County and creating a foreign trade zone. So it just seemed, as going through that experience, that it was a very natural step to really strengthen and coalesce our work so that we could present a very united face to companies and businesses that look to Southern Arizona. So it was a very natural step that followed the work we were doing, and as you just mentioned, some of the successes we've been able to report.
You know, Denny, you've been through so many rebrandings that when you were with General Motors
yes.
as Director of Communications, that was always a big deal, because let's face it, there's a new model year, there's the new best thing coming along.
Yes.
Rebranding is an art in itself, isn't it?
It is, and it has to be based on substance, and why we feel so confident and very pleased on how the rollout of the Sun Corridor Inc. has progressed is that it's based on what we have been doing. It is based on how we want to do our work, and based on the fact that we want organizations to look at all of the assets that we have here in Southern Arizona so that they can have greater choices and put us higher on the list in making that final site selection decision for a new business or expanding existing ones.
It is a difficult, anything in economic development these days, you've got competition everywhere. So you've got to sell your product. And a lot of times that's the site selection, they come out and decisions are made very quickly.
Absolutely.
First impressions.
Yeah, the first impression is important in any business and in any enterprise. And a couple of things that give our region quite a bit of strength is that we have some wonderful assets in place. Clearly, the University of Arizona, the presence of Raytheon, those provide important steps. But critical to this also is an important working relationship with our governmental and elected officials. Companies looking at how that relationship is between business and government and making progress together is another important step in that whole list that site selectors and companies make, and we are making great progress in that area here in Southern Arizona.
How is the name change being received on a national level? TRIO had the word Tucson in it, Sun Corridor doesn't. Is that an issue?
It has been extremely well received on multiple levels. First, in the state. The state organizations involved in economic development clearly like the idea of these collective assets. The local governmental leaders in our other municipalities see that as an opportunity to also include some of the strengths and attributes they have. But more importantly, in our delegation to D.C., we found the reaction from our federal delegation and other agency officials to see that we in Southern Arizona are acting in a very collected, unified, and focused way, and that was very well received.
Are you bringing in board members that kind of reflect this whole mega region?
We're very pleased about that. We have added a number of new members, and importantly, on a binational basis, we've had the Council General of Tucson join us. Ricardo has been an important step because that is an important future area in the area of potential manufacturing and supply chain, that we need that relationship, and having his support and his critical support in D.C. with some of the key trade officials was an important and very positive step for all of us in Southern Arizona.
I know Pinal County is on board. You're also reaching out to Cochise County.
Cochise County,
You've
yes.
got now the chair of the Cochise County Board of Supervisors. Patrick Call is now involved on the board. You've got now Santa Cruz County.
Yes. We think that this just made good natural sense, and that coming forward and acting in a unified way so that companies could look at the collective assets and make decisions not necessarily between two options, but three options or four options, that made our region stronger and enhances the potential prosperity for all of us in Southern Arizona.
So the region, you look at the region going to what? Up to like Casa Grande, Eloy, where do you look at it on the northern end?
We look all the way to Maricopa County. Mm-hmm. We look from everything from Maricopa County all the way down to the border. And we want to be supportive east and west. That's one of the reasons we are very supportive of a porous freight and trade corridor for the area, because that just enhances opportunities for the companies and the people here for full-time employment.
What besides the location, that has got to be one of the big assets, being very close to Mexico. That's important. How about no corporate inventory tax?
The fact that we don't have that is a very much of a plus, demonstrating that governmental policies and governmental decision makers are willing to work in the area of tax, their willingness to improve education are important signals in making us a very attractive place. We here in Southern Arizona are looked at as really one of the emerging locations for people to consider, not only existing business, but many of these entrepreneurs that are growing their business, and that this is a good place to grow.
You've got bioscience, of course, big here, the diagnostics area in bioscience.
It is an exciting time to be in Southern Arizona, particularly with the work being done at U of A and some of the aerospace work. In high tech, being recognized as high tech is going to be a major plus for us. And just recently, the announcement we had on Worldview being approved, bringing that high tech future business sector, future opportunity for businesses here in Southern Arizona, we're very excited about.
Dennis Manano, thank you very much. Dennis is the chair of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Dennis, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much.
Dennis Manano with us on The Buckmaster Show. For more information about Sun Corridor, please visit their website, suncorridorinc.com. 12:44 on The Buckmaster Show. Dr. Joaquin Ruiz is with us next, back after this. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon, a beautiful late January day. I think they call days like this, Ray, Chamber of Commerce days. It's that beautiful. The University of Arizona College of Science presenting this year's lecture series. It's titled Earth Transformed, Monday evening starting January 25th, and that first will be this upcoming Monday through March 7th. UA Centennial Hall is the venue. The lectures are free and open to all. They are extremely popular. This event now beginning its 11th year, the UA Science Lecture Series, with its distinguished speakers giving opportunity to discover astounding new insights about our world and ourselves. You can find out more at uascience.org. Joining me in studio to discuss this year's series, Dr. Joaquin Ruiz. Dr. Ruiz, Dean of the UA College of Science, which serves some 7,500 undergraduate and graduate students and brings together globally prominent faculty and disciplines at the core of scientific inquiry and education. Dr. Ruiz, good to see you.
Bill, it's great seeing you, and thank you for highlighting the college. I think I'll hire you as my PR person.
Some of my friends over there would not like that anyway. Anyway, Earth Transformed. Give me kind of an overview, Joaquin, about this year's series.
Sure. First, every single lecture series, what makes them, I think, so remarkable is that the lecturers themselves create the lecture series, and what we try to do through five or six lectures, depending on the year, is give the public everything that's known about that theme so that if they attend, the public attends all of the lectures, they'll know as much as the experts, maybe without the math and stuff, but they'll know what we really know about the theme.
And the theme this year is really climate change.
It is. Yeah. 10 years ago, the lecture series, as you said, has gone on 11 years, and 10 years ago it was on global climate change. That was actually the title of the lecture series. And we felt that 10 years was enough time to revisit that topic, which a lot has happened in those 10 years. And 10 years ago, people were still debating all kinds of issues vehemently about human reason implications in global climate change, whether it was really happening. Now, very few scientists disagree with the concepts. And although there is disagreement in the details of what will happen based on global climate change, the fact that it's happening, the fact that it's correlated to greenhouse gases, as we call them, it's not disputed at all.
Well, and then the news that came out yesterday about 2015 being the Earth's hottest year since records have been kept. But then again, the skeptics will say, my goodness, look at the big snowstorm that's coming.
What the skeptics have to recognize is that the modelers, those that have been modeling global climate change, aren't saying that everywhere it's going to get hotter. In fact, what they're saying is that the weather as we knew it in the past is going to be very different. So we'll get snowstorms in some places where they never had them at that time. We'll get hurricanes at some places where they never had them at those times. We'll lose water. I mean, water, in fact, is a hammer of global climate change. And sadly, many, many places are drying out and causing quite a lot of misery.
Well, you know, you mentioned like hurricanes that rarely ever appear. I've been in the Azores, and they had a hurricane last week.
Yeah,
in January. Very, very rare occurrence. So we're seeing these kind of odd, almost anomalies popping up.
Well, that's right. And this year, I think it's the hottest El Nino we've ever seen on record as well, or at least it's one of them.
Yep.
And that's where the debates are still going on in the scientific community. When you get an El Nino like this year, or you get some hurricane that shows up in some random way, whether they're because of global climate change or overall variabilities, I think that in a few years we'll have much better understanding even of those details. But again, the fact that climate is changing, that the weather patterns are changing because of the heating of the planet, that's indisputable.
All right. A couple of callers wanted to speak with Dr. Ruiz, so I ask that because of our time limits here, please keep your question as brief as possible. Matthew, you are up first. Go ahead.
Yes, doctor. I think that the current international agreement that was reached is a game changer. Like the Telecommunications Act was back in the late 80s, and we're living the ramifications of it today. We'll be living the ramifications of the climate change agreement. Can you discuss all the different ways you see the future unfolding, and if it turns out that way or not, right or wrong? Thank you. Bye.
Sure. Thank you so much. Well, I think the fundamental issues in the agreement are the emissions of fossil fuel gases. And for the first time, there's been some agreement by all countries, including those that are developing, like India, China, and developed countries like the U.S., on some limits on the greenhouse gases. It's very important because, in the end, the greenhouse gases have been, there's been a huge debate in places like China that even though they are now the greatest emitters of greenhouse gases, that the United States is really the one that has put most of the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and that by limiting their greenhouse gases, we're limiting the growth of their middle class or the economic development. So I think what you're going to see, my prediction is that what you're going to see now that everybody sort of is on board, that the technologies required for having a sustainable and robust economic growth with less gas emissions from fossil fuels will start materializing in a much faster way.
All right, back to our live line, 790-2040. Jim has called us. I believe it's Jim Kelly. Go ahead, Jim. You with Dr. Louise.
Hi, Dr. Louise. Basically, what's the difference between weather and climate, and how do they affect each other? And secondly, what effect does astrophysics and geological shifts under sea, how does that affect climate and weather?
Okay, good terrific questions.
So I think the weather and the climate, the way you have to think about those briefly is just the length of time and whether they're local or not. So when we talk about climate, we're talking about something that is a larger scale. So there's no real sort of line in the sand, but it's large scale versus small scale. And when we look at the Weather Channel, that's exactly what we're looking at. We're looking at the weather, whether it's going to be 76 degrees or not today and tomorrow and so on. So that's sort of very briefly the definition of those two.
Undersea part of his
right
question.
Well, the key underlying issue with your question is that there's no doubt that geology on its own has been able to change the weather, the climate of the Earth. The Earth has been at times completely frozen. When the dinosaurs were on the Earth, the temperatures were way hotter than they are now. That's why we had these huge ferns. So the geologic processes have been able to do that. But in every single case, those geological processes required to put CO2 in the atmosphere, either by volcanism or by burps from the ocean or whatnot. But there hasn't been in the geologic record a transition as quick as we see it now and related, correlated with the Industrial Revolution and what's happening economically today. So it's happening so fast, it's correlated to things that we've done as humans, that it's undoubtedly the fact that we're doing it, basically. With respect to astrophysics, I think what you really mean is really the sun and the forcing of the sun on our climate. And there's been enough studies. Well, if you look also at the range of time, we see variations that are cyclical, short period cyclicity that clearly is related to some planet, either orbital thing or sun variations. But nothing in the record compares to what's happening today in the very quick increase in the temperature and in the CO2. And the increase we see today is higher than anything we've seen in the record that can be related to planetary or orbitals or any of that kind of stuff.
And Tucson is one of those places that it's very climate change is going to have a big impact.
Well, that's right. All the modelers clearly show that the bullseye of global climate change in the U.S. is going to be Arizona. It's going to be hotter and drier than anywhere else.
And there will be beneficiaries. Places like southern Canada will
that's
be doing
right
better.
That's right. That's right.
So the yin and yang of climate change.
That's correct.
Joaquin Ruiz, thank you very much. And again, the series begins Monday, 7 o'clock in the evening over at Centennial Hall. Good advice. Get there early, right?
Absolutely. And the last thing I'd just like to leave
with
is that, you know, these lecture series are as successful as they are because of the community we live in. And I am very proud to be in a community where 3,000 people show up to listen to a science lecture. Not many places in this country are that way.
That is so true. Dr. Ruiz, good to see you. Thank you
very
much.
It's great seeing you, and thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw. Our friend Ray Allen will be back with that one, engineering that program. Then tomorrow morning, we do 4 hours of local talk. Chris and Joe, Wake Up Tucson, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10. I'll be back with our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll will be my guest tomorrow. Till then, on behalf of Ray and me, Bill Buckmaster, have a great afternoon and evening.